for my Uber here, and man, it gets cold at night. Terry?
Oh, hey, it's me, Terry, your Uber driver.
Cool, thanks. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Why don't you just get in the car and stop asking questions?
All right. Man, this is a nice car.
Yeah, it is a nice car. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah?
So I know you want to get to where you're going.
Right, of course. I mean, I did order the Uber.
But I thought maybe I could just rob you.
So instead of taking me where I need to go, as outlined by the app of Uber, you are going to rob me where I could easily just report you and you would get in trouble with the company.
Yes, you could do that. Or after I rob you, you could help me rob someone else. Okay, is this making sense?
Yeah,
and
yes.
Then once you rob that person can rob two more people. All right, is this making sense?
Yes, yes.
And then you're your own car thief. So, like, it's you're like a self-made man.
Okay.
But you still answer to me because I'm your boss. So whatever
right.
money you make, I will rob you.
So you, if regardless, I'm going to get robbed, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So we're in the process.
But the more people you rob, the more money I'll make. Okay.
Can I have my dead wife's ring back, please?
You got to rob it from me first.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Indie Film Review with me, Dan, and that is Terry, the Uber driver. Hi, Terry.
Hey, I'm Terry, the Uber driver, and
we are with you once more for another edition of the wonderful podcast, Indie Film Review, of course.
Yeah.
Jared got locked in an Uber, and he can't make it today.
Yeah, Jared's dead. Hey, Dan, what movie did we watch today?
We watched a film called Disrupted. Oh, man. Disrupted indeed.
This was written and directed by Andre Welsh.
It was also shot by Andre Welsh. He was the director of photography for this film.
Dude, nice.
He has a jack of all trades. I bet if I get in his Uber, he won't rob me.
No, he's probably a nice man. I would hope. So I believe this was sent to us by Victoria, the publicist.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you for doing your job as a publicist.
You know, publicists don't get the recognition
they don't.
That they deserve.
And they
need
to.
They're sending emails to idiots and morons like us. They deserve to be recognized. So
I agree.
Let's just give a I don't know what we're doing. Dan, why don't you tell us about Disrupted?
Sure. Disrupted is, oh my god, it is one of those films that's like Go, it's like Magnolia, it's like Babel, if you've ever seen any of those films where you have multiple main characters at any given time and they're telling different stories simultaneously. Anyway, this film is basically about a man who gets let out of prison for a reason that we aren't aware of. And his daughter's getting married soon. He's kind of breaking his parole a little bit. He's working where he shouldn't be working. He's down on his luck. He's getting evicted from his building. And his daughter gets him an Uber. And the Uber...
So like classic Hollywood stuff.
Classic Hollywood stuff. Anyway, his daughter gets him an Uber one day. And the Uber decides to rob him, and now he gets entwined in the Uber's gigantic web of deceit and lies.
You make it sound like the Uber itself is robbing
yes,
him.
Yes,
like
the Uber vehicles, was robbing him. Like the Prius.
The company itself.
Oh, yeah, the company.
It's come alive.
The app jumps out of the phone and beats the hell out of him. No, the Uber driver, basically.
Yes. So we have Pete, who's the ex-con. He's sober. He's in AA. He's been doing it for 6 years. We got Jay, I believe, because his name changes. Like Trevor, then it was like Calvin, and I think his real name is Jay.
Mm.
I think he changes his name for plot reasons because he is pretending to be more like white friendly, I guess.
Mm. The Uber driver we're talking about.
Yeah, he's trying to be like more hipster to make white people feel safer to get in his car with him.
To be disguised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You initially think it's so he can get more customers, I guess. But there's a whole other thing going on there. So then we have Harold, who is...
a fucking psychopath.
Oh, I was going to say a really nice businessman.
Yes. No, he's a fucking
sure,
psychopath.
Sure, I mean, that's...
That's not necessarily spoilers because we don't necessarily know what he is a psychopath about. So
that's right. He could be a psychopath about peanuts. Maybe he's really into peanuts.
Maybe.
Okay. Dan, ask me a goddamn question.
Jared, before I get into questions, I need to reel back. I need to go flashback to last week. Guys, last week we told you. We told you, or I told you. I'm like, Jared, falling contender of movie of the year.
Okay.
Well, that was until I fucking watched Disrupted.
No way, dude. Yeah, really?
100%. Holy shit. This fucking movie is goddamn amazing. There are some plot holes in it. There are some plot holes in it that you're like, what? But man, the suspense is just, oh, adrenaline, pedal to the metal, keeping me on the edge of my seat.
For a low budget film, you know, an independent film like this, I don't know what the exact budget is for this. I wish I knew. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. But this looks like a Hollywood film.
Yes. It looks amazing. It is acted in a fucking amazing way. And just the fucking narrative, it's so intricate. So intricate. Mm. There's like, in the
fucking narrative.
Yes, the fucking narrative. It is so intricate. It leaves so much room for error, like to fuck up. But it does it so well that it's incredible. So, Jared, my question is
like, I don't want any part of that bit. Go ahead.
Jared, my question to you is, how did you like the cinematography?
I really liked it. I liked the opening a lot, too. I mean, that opening with the monologue of the pit bull and everything was amazing. I mean, a lot of the camera shots really kept me interested in what was going on in the film, even when it was kind of, even in the slower sections.
Exactly. The camera work in this film, this is one of those films that the cinematography jumps out of the frame at me. There's so many well-composed shots. There's so many really interesting camera movements. Man, just one that I'm thinking about at the very end where you see Pete's reflection in the shower stall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, and then close-ups of like the carnage. Oh my God. Guys, this film is violent.
The practical effects are really good, and they do a good job of keeping... So, like, whenever someone dies in this movie, they don't show that happening, because I think that would be too difficult to actually, like, have actions happening on screen with the special effects going off. So they're like, okay, someone's going to get beat up, and then you see the aftermath of a lot of things. Except for at the end, there is a big thing at the end with some cool special effects. I think it works perfectly. Like, I actually liked seeing, because like that's not the real focus of the film.
Right.
It's more about the consequences of what's going on than the actual violence itself. And it's like, I don't really need to see it anyways. How did you feel about that?
How did I feel about the violence?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, like it took me for a fucking loop is what it did. To touch on the violence, the main villain in this movie uses brass knuckles as his go-to weapon of choice. Mm-hmm. And that alone is brutal as hell. They show so many victims. It's crazy.
Yeah, they go through a lot of people. This guy's got a body count. Jeffrey Lower plays Harold.
Harold Price, Jeffrey Lower. Hey, Jared, I have a surprise for you.
Uh-oh, okay.
You like the mid-2000s, right?
Oh, sure, I love it. I always talk about the mid-2000s.
Check out this fucking amazing fan page that I found made on tripod.com. And
Are you linking?
Yes, I am. The name of the website is just Jeff, and it's made by a fan who is super into Jeffrey Lower.
Holy shit. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
We will link it in the description. It has this insane, like, purple background. Just a categorized thing up until maybe 2000, I would assume. Like,
oh my God.
Somebody made this website in 2000 and is still paying
Jeffrey,
for it.
Jeffrey, you have a legacy that will live on in this website forever. And you should be proud.
You should be proud.
I doubt he even knows this exists, and he's going to see it and go, why? Why? Actually, I'd be flattered. A fan's website about a very talented actor. I mean, he's not wrong. You're not wrong. Foo99.tripod.com.
I feel like it's safe to say that whoever made this wanted to sleep with him.
This was made, it had to be at the dawn of the internet.
Yeah, no, 2000. Well, it was made, like, the last film that they tracked was 2000, and he's been in a lot of things since then.
They didn't even update it?
It's just existing.
This is disrespectful. This is out of control. All right, I have to look away because I'll talk about this for an hour.
Oh, shit.
Dan, you've done great research.
Thank you. Well, because like I recognize him. I'm like, what the fuck is he from? And he's just been in a bunch of different shows and movies where he's not the main character, but he's like an actor that is like recognizable. Like, I recognize him from Hook.
Some kind of a
he was
character.
Yes,
actor.
He was a character in the film Hook. Anyway.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. More questions, Jared. We talked about the cinematography. We talked about the brutality of the violence. Let's get into the pacing and the acting. How do you feel?
Pacing? Okay. Actually, I want to tackle acting first. Okay. Acting is fantastic. Everyone in this movie does so good. There was never a time where I was taken out of the film because of someone's acting. I really enjoyed the acting from the two thugs, the Uber drivers, yes. Especially them together. I believe one of the actors is named Aku. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. He's like Cher. He only has one name, so that's cool. And I don't see the other guy on here, but he's also really good. It's just something about them together. I could just watch that.
Well,
like, that could have been the entire movie.
What was fascinating about those two characters is they are introduced, or at least one of them is introduced, as a African-American Uber driver who gets stunted by a lady because she doesn't want to get in a car with a black man. And you're like, well, fuck, that's fucked up. But then the film goes further into that psychology of like what it means to be like perceived as an African-American, and it turns it on its fucking head, and it's brilliant.
I mean, can we just say what happens? Because this is kind of fucked
yes.
up. We kind of already...
Tell us what happens.
So the lady basically flat out refuses and says, I'll get another car. So he gets snubbed. Then he starts dressing like all hipster or whatever to be more friendly to white people. And then it works. And there's a whole commentary on that I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And they did it in a funny way, too. Because he's like, I started getting into all of this stuff. Like, he starts enjoying
metal music.
Dressing that way. And he starts enjoying, he likes metal music. And then by the end of the film... He likes Dave Matthews Band. Like, that was so good. All the best monologues are from
him. Well, because that's all he does in the film is good monologues. But my favorite monologue he gives is about having a religious spirit experience in a mosh pit in a metal concert. It was so fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting spots where it's like those car rides with those characters. The movie becomes like a Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
It becomes like this, like a Kevin Smithy, like we're just going to talk and just talk about weird things, but you're kind of learning about the characters as it's going. And that's when I was like really hooked.
Yeah, exactly.
The film. I was locked in. But the other times you're saying pacing, right? So I think there were certain scenes where information was conveyed and then the film, the scene just kept going. And I'm like, we could cut this scene a little short. There were a lot of times where, so like there's one scene where one of the gangster guys who steals that credit card later on, he like runs into Pete mm-hmm. and at the grocery store. But then we have this whole scene of like Pete ordering a newspaper from the grocery store, the convenience store owner. And he's like talking to him about like, oh, I don't use self, like blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, I don't know if we need this scene.
Well,
it didn't feel like it really added anything.
It did.
I mean, I guess it built on the relationship between him.
It built on the relationship, and it also gave you more insight into the convenience store guy. It gave you a soft spot in his heart or in your heart. Mm-hmm. And spoilers, guys, because we're at 18 minutes now. The convenience store clerk dies. So
yeah. So okay. Spoilers. If you want to watch this movie, I think we got
we did get a screener
for it.
Yes.
But let me go to So it's gonna be video on demand, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Google Play, Vudu, Fandango, all the things.
It's whatever you are expected to pay for it is well worth your time and money. Trust me.
Yeah, I agree. This is pretty masterful for being a low budget indie. They do a great job. All right. So, yeah, we're going to spoil it.
Spoilers.
Actually, Dan, I never asked you a question, but I can ask you a question and also
spoil it,
because we're that good. We can mix the two. It's like so fun. Okay. Dan.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the things that you didn't like in this film. So my question is, what did you not like?
The only thing I can think of that I didn't like is the leaps in the time, because they make sense in the whole narrative. But at the moment that something leaps, you're like, where did that go? Like, for example, we learned that Pete is basically after a guy who uses brass knuckles. And we learned that Harold is using brass knuckles. And there's a scene towards the end of the movie where Harold is talking to Pete's daughter, who is estranged now, and she asks for a cigarette. Mm. And we are led to believe that Harold killed her. But that is twofold of a plot hole, because number one, how the fuck does Harold know if he doesn't even know that Pete's after him? And number two,
yeah,
we don't like it. It's revealed that she was never killed, but the way that the film is edited, you're just like, okay, what the fuck happened? Like, and you're clueless for like 20 minutes.
And also, does Pete die at the end? I was confused about that too.
I don't think he. Well, yeah, no, I do think he dies. He definitely took a big Bowie knife to the gut.
Well, I don't know. You can recover from a lot of things. You can get shot like 20 times and still live. There are some plot conveniences in this film that I found pretty easy to overlook, but they are there.
That's the thing. No, that, like, the biggest one is the one I just said, but there are little tiny areas where the plot just kind of hiccups. And I feel like that's to be expected because of how fucking intricate and how complicated.
It's a pretty complex movie. Yeah. Yeah. Like that scene. So at the very end when they're in Tahoe, this is cool because they're filming in California near where I live. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty neat. So they're in San Francisco and in Tahoe, but there's a scene where there's like a cabin in Tahoe where the two preppy guys want to go rob it with Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And they go there and it's like, oh, now the bad guy knows that they're there because their security system went off, but he's got to drive up to Tahoe to get there. So it's like, oh, how do we keep them there? Oh, they want to go in the hot tub. You know, it's like little things like that. Or when they finally show up, one of the dudes is like, trying to signal to his friend that they have to leave. And I'm like, just go to the bathroom and get him. Like, you know where he is. Just run to him and be like, hey, we got to go.
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, he leaves him there. And I'm like, come on. So it's like certain things where there's character decisions that they make to where I'm like, I don't think a character would act that way, but also it's a character. So I don't know. Another thing like that would be when Harold is with the convenience store owner. Mm-hmm. And he locks the front door and he's like, I want to look at those cameras. He's like, where's the recordings for those cameras? And the first thing I thought of is, oh, Harold's going to get shot right now.
Yeah.
Because this convenience store owner certainly has a gun. I don't know why he wouldn't have a gun. I think every convenience store owner that I've ever known has a gun. So that was strange. But no, he just gets bludgeoned to death by Harold. And I'm like, okay. This almost feels like a me problem.
Well,
like,
no, it certainly is a me problem, but you're bringing up some things that you're bringing up some things that are interesting to me. Like that whole instance of we're talking about the violence, and I like the violence because it's not shown that much. And that's what makes it so shocking. You know what I mean? Like it's only showed really towards the end, but like the convenience store owner, you don't see the violence. You just get the next scene where he's dead on the floor, and man, what a shot that was. Oh, mm-hmm. Beautifully composed with murder. Another thing that I really like is these guys who are robbing, you know, like they're talking about how they want to blend in and not get in trouble with the cops. So they're dressing like they're wearing thick rimmed glasses.
They drive a Prius. They drive a Prius. They don't get pulled over.
But and then what they steal, like they steal fucking Monet paintings, like paintings from the 1600s. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's so good. Well, here's I would say my big issue with the film is a lot of the plot with. Okay, so you have these three plots, right? You got Pete. You got Harold, and then you got the two robbers. Mm. But we don't focus on the two robbers that much in their backstory.
Well,
I wish we kind of focused on
now
them more.
That you've brought up Quentin Tarantino and Pulp Fiction, it's almost as if that those two characters are Sam Jackson and John Travolta in that movie. Like They just, they advance the plot, basically. And they have interesting things to say.
I mean, we even have a scene where a guy is bleeding out in a car.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh man, I'm bleeding out, dude. You gotta take me to a hospital. Like, it's a total, it feels like a total homage to them. Honestly. We made fun of this in the beginning of the episode, but Pete gets an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
He gets robbed by the two robbers. Then the robbers convince him to help them rob someone else so he can get information about who this killer is. Because he's like, we might know the guy who knows your killer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and but then after that, they force him to rob someone else again. Like, they keep pulling a gun on him. They're like, you better do what we say. And then the next scene, they're like best friends.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, what is the
I like that a lot. I love that. Like, it's so flippant.
It just seemed a little strange.
Okay, no, it was strange.
How he's like, he keeps helping them do the robberies.
It was strange, but to me, that was just silly. Like, it just made me chuckle a little bit. Now,
there was a lot of good comedy in
this. 100%. And another thing that I really liked was, speaking of Jeffrey Lauer and this amazing fucking homage to him that I'm staring at that has purple all over it, he is a fantastic actor, and he plays a psychopath, like, very well.
Mm-hmm.
He was scary.
I thought he was going to kill his wife.
Me too.
I really thought he was. I'm surprised he didn't.
Whenever his wife dies, he's just like, whatever. It doesn't bother me.
He's like, there goes 26 years.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus.
And then he has the last laugh with Pete. Like, Pete doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And how often does a villain get to do that? Like, have the final laugh?
Well, because Pete keeps failing. Like, he goes back to drinking.
Yeah.
He becomes unhinged again. Because, like, the whole reason he started down this path anyways is because, you know, his wife was killed by this guy. And he's, like, pushed that all aside. And then his other friend earlier on got him back into, like, hey, I have these documents from the police station of, like, suspects of who it could be and blah, blah, blah. Because people are getting killed with brass knuckles again. And he's like, I think it might be the same guy. And he starts getting interested. And I do like that pull of him just being like, oh, no, I'm getting back into it. And it's like he has to choose between his family and his daughter and supporting her, or, you know, avenging his wife and falling back into his old ways. And he does the wrong thing. And it costs him everything, pretty much.
Basically.
I mean, they end up killing a woman.
Yeah.
Earlier on in the first robbery, they kill a woman who has a baby. So already then, I feel like he had crossed the
100%.
Line. 100%. He had helped them do that.
He's an accessory to murder.
Didn't you think that they were going to go and rob Harold during that first scene, though? So it was a little strange. It's like, I felt like your expectation was they were all going to meet up in a house, and then it was going to be like a cat and mouse game of all of them trying to, like, rob each other, or, like, you know, being stuck in a house together, or, like, a situation where they're all trying to kill each other. But then the movie kind of, like, goes different from there. I don't know.
What I understood was the first house is just Pete's tagging along for the night, for their night of hijinks and stealing things.
Yes.
He's their driver.
In order to get information.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like, and
you better drive for us.
And this first house was just their first mark. And they kidnap Pete again, and they drive him to Tahoe because the next mark is this Harold person. So it's by coincidence that they end up being in Harold's house. And, like, Pete's putting all this...
There's a lot of coincidences in this movie.
You're right.
If you can get past the coincidences, you're going to really enjoy this film. And I was able to stop myself from being a nitpicky asshole, even though I'm doing that right now. I'm only doing it right now because this is a show where I'm supposed to do that.
To clarify, like, okay, so Falling is a solid movie, but this film was, it kept my attention and it kept me going, and those plot holes were easy to fill with my brain.
Yeah, you take a little bit of your brain and you plug the
exactly.
holes.
Exactly.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Yes.
I really enjoyed watching it, and it kept me engaged, and, like, everything about it was great. It's just, like, I mean, I won't repeat myself.
Thrills, chills, and laughs, guys. That's what you're going to get out of this movie.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. All right, Dan. I guess that was our final
thoughts. Yeah, it was.
I think we did it.
I think we did, too. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We got disrupted in our email boxes, and we can't be happier.
We got disrupted in our email box. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it.
I don't.
I just want to give a moment again to our publicists out there who are just, you know, they're really making it happen. They're going.
They are. We need a publicist, as a matter of fact.
They're sending the emails.
I feel like the minute we up our game and get a publicist, we're done. We're skyrocketing.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Go check out the necropodicon.com. That is like Necronomicon, but spelled Necropodicon. You see what I did there? And you'll find a lot of really cool podcasts like ours. So if you go to the website, necropodicon.com, you can click on the link to the Discord, come talk to us, check out our bios, check out what all the other shows are about. And you are legitimately guaranteed to have a great time.
Yeah.
And it is not a robbery scheme. We will not rob you when you get to the site.
You stick your neck out guaranteed. For the Necropodicon, and the Necropodicon is going to stick your neck out for you.
That's right. Dan, you have the final word.
I'm 6 years sober. Gulp.
You're 6 years sober?
Sober. I'm uninvited to my daughter's wedding.
No! On this, the day of your daughter's wedding.
Hey there, best friends. It's Danny.
It's also Erica.
Erica is here also.
I am alive.
We're here to tell you about a little network called the Necropodicon Network. I'm sure you've heard of it.
It's world renowned.
We thank them at the end of our show every single week.
Yeah, and you never check them out, do you? Well, this is your time.
Yeah, we're finding you on other podcasts now to tell you that you need to check out the Necropodicon Network.
Stop saying you support the Necropodicon Network and just do it.
Stop running from the truth. They have role-playing podcasts. They have horror podcasts. They have comedy podcasts. They have movie review podcasts. There are lots of fun podcasts over there, and you're missing out if you don't go over to necropodicon.com right now.
So get that sweet tookus off your... Keep that sweet tookus on your couch and Google necropodicon.com.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.